1 John. The Word of God says, starting in chapter 1, verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was from the Father and is manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Brethren, pray with me. Father, I do ask that You would take Your precious word and help us this morning to draw near to You. And though You are pure light, and in fact in us is no goodness at all, somehow You allow us and in fact take us from the kingdom of darkness and into Your marvelous light. This is a mystery, and we cannot really understand it, but we thank You that it is true. That we who have lived our lives in darkness, and even today because of the fleshliness of our lives, return unto it. You allow us and bring us into that marvelous light, into the purity and goodness and holiness of who You are. And we know that it is not done by a simple snap of the fingers, but You sent Your only begotten Son. By Your own plan, You sent Your own Son to die for me, so that I might enter into that light. And You did the same for each person here. In fact, You did it for every person who enters into this world. And so we thank You now and ask You that You would use this time that we might once again enter into that light. Please, we pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Sin is something that has become minimized in our culture. In fact, I believe every culture, given enough time, will make little of sin. Because we, in our nature, in our natural state, sin and knowingly against God. We often think of sin as sinning against His law, but in fact, it is not just sinning against law, it's sinning against the very nature and person of God. When we look at who God is, and we look at who we are, not in the scope of God's power, but in terms of holiness, we are not God. Now, we know we're not God when it comes to omniscience. We know we're not God when it comes to Him being all-powerful. That's what I mean. All-knowing. He is in all places at all times. There's nothing that surprises Him. We know this. But when it comes to holiness, we want to be able to say that we're like God. And the way that cultures seek to do this is to take God completely out of the picture. And to say we are like God because we are God. And we determine what right and wrong is. Holiness is in the eye of the beholder. This is a terrible thing. And in fact denies who God is. We might ask, why does God make such a big deal about sin? I mean, we can look from the beginning of the Bible to the end, and everywhere you look, there's sin. Why does God do it? Is it because He hates us? Is it because He is so high and holy that He looks down upon us and seeks to crush us as ants? This is the exact opposite of why God speaks of sin over and over and over in the Bible. He does it because He loves us. 1 John places us face to face with a God who never sins. And we, in our face, are ones who always sin. Who sin so much that it is in fact part of who we are. That is what human beings do. And so God places great importance upon sin. But He gives a foundational message. That message is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He tells us what we are to do with our sin. 1 John is beautiful. And we would miss the beauty of God and the love of God if we did not know about sin. But sin is crucial if we're to know God. Sin, often thought of as the breaking of God's law, but again is in fact not only breaking God's law, but breaking apart one person, a person breaking apart from the original intent that God had. God intended for us, by our very creation, because He made us as human beings, to be like Him. He made us in His image. There is no other creation, including angels, that were made like us. Why did He make us in His image? 1 John tells us, for fellowship with Him. We think so little of what fellowship really is, but God wants us to be one and the same with Him in mind and spirit. He wants us to be able to enjoy Him, and He wants to enjoy us, but sin gets in the way. In fact, in cultures throughout the world today and in all time, sin has become something that is more uncomfortable to talk about than the actual sins themselves. You can turn on your television today, and many of you do. And the things that you watch on TV, the things that we see, are vile sins. And we will talk about these things with no fear or uncomfortableness at all. In fact, to not talk about them with those that are talking about them with us would be uncomfortable. But the very moment we start saying the word sin, it becomes uncomfortable. We feel more comfortable talking about the things that we see on television that are sinful than talking about sin itself. And this is designed not by God, but by the devil. We feel more comfortable talking about things that are lewd and unseemly and are contrary to God than talking about the God who had declared those things sin. Men can get together and speak about nasty things and have no problem. But as soon as one speaks up and says, "This is a sin against God," the air is sucked out of the room. This is why God must make such a big deal out of sin. It has become so apparent that this is true that even in churches, speaking about sin is something that is rarely done. And yet, if we are going to adhere to the Scripture, sin has to be talked about in almost every message, because in almost every message, in almost every passage of Scripture, there is sin right before us. God speaks about sin so often throughout the Scripture as evil. He speaks about it in terms of even meeting out everlasting punishment to them that commit those sins. We ask, shouldn't God, if He loves us, ignore sin and act as if it isn't happening? No matter how much we might want God to do this, it would go against who He is and would in fact make God no God at all. If God did not address sin the way He did, He would not be God. He has to, because He is God, because He is pure, because He is as the white fallen snow, because He is as pure light. He must address it because He's God. A God who has no law, no standard, no moral compass is not God. And yet, what are people doing to God, even in churches? Making God someone who has no morals, no compass, no standard, no law. They are, and we are, when we think this way, in all intents and purchase, in all intents and reasoning, atheists. When we have a God with no law, with no purity, we in fact do not have God, and we are atheists. We may not call ourselves that. We may say, "I believe in God." There are many people who say, "I believe in God," but are in their heart of hearts atheists, because they do not want God to have any moral compass in their lives. No standard, no line of demarcation. No, this is evil and this is good. They like it all to be gray. God doesn't allow it. Simply put, God emphasizes sin because He is God. This does not mean that God is the inventor of sin. That is a great heresy, by the way. It is a great heresy that God invented sin. But out of God flows purity and light. Everyone who removes themselves from His light does so because they choose the darkness of sin. And this choosing of sin is true of every human being in this world. Every single one of us in this room and every person who has been born into this world has chosen sin rather than the light of Christ. We have done so. And so for God to not make a big deal out of sin would leave us in the darkness. But God does not do that, because He loves us and does not want us to be in the dark. So He makes a big deal about sin so that we might know the way to the light. He is that light. God has chosen to make a way from darkness and into His marvelous light. The great Puritan writer, his name was Ralph Vining. He wrote this: sin is contrary to the nature of God. is contrary to all the names and attributes of God. Sin is contrary to all the works of God. It is contrary to the law and will of God, to the image of God, to the people of God, to the glory of God, to the being of God. Sin is the opposite of God. How could He not address it from the beginning to the end of His Word, from the inside to the outside, from the north to the south, from the east to the west? How could He not go and give us all there is to know about sin? In fact, if God were silent about sin, there would be no hope for mankind. Listen to me. If God were silent about sin, there would be no hope for mankind. Think about this. If God's people are silent about sin, there is no hope for mankind. Sin has to be addressed. 1 John, and there's so many passages that address sin, go right into the heart of these things. God places great importance upon this. So if you look there in 1 John, God tells us in the first three verses, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our eyes have handled of the word of truth. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show you that eternal life which was in the Father, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Sin must be addressed the way God does so, from the beginning to the end, in such sometimes stark words. And by the way, you can read the scripture and you say, that is stark. Even in a culture that doesn't use the word, if you use the word fornication, it will immediately cause people to perk up. And they didn't learn that word in school. They didn't have a vocabulary test one day and fornication was one of the words. And yet, you use that word and people are like, what? Sin is something that God addresses in stark manners. If you notice, the reason why He has to is because if He doesn't, we cannot have fellowship with Him. Notice what He says in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. God must address sin. He must address our sin. Because if He doesn't, we cannot have fellowship with Him. Which is exactly why He made us in the first place. Because He is light and sin is darkness. He has to do it. Sin is the destruction of life because life is fellowship with God. If there is sin, there is no fellowship. When we sin, we destroy our lives because we destroy our fellowship with God. Jesus Christ is the life. He came to give eternal life. He came to restore fellowship. And in order to do so, He had to address sin. And He did. And we'll get to that in a moment. How did He address sin? But sin is the destruction of life because it destroys fellowship with God who created us for fellowship with Him. Sin takes life, which should be eternal, and cuts it off permanently. By the way, life should be eternal. We should have eternal fellowship with Him, but sin cuts it off permanently. Sin produces a wall between us and God. This is a wall as high as heaven itself, as deep as the lowest hell. It is as wide as the east is from the west. There is no going over it. There is no going under it. There is no going around it. Sin and the addressing of God, the addressing of sin in the scripture that God does is so important because we are all face to face with this wall. And because we are face to face with this wall, we are not face to face with God. Where there is a wall, you cannot be face to face with the person on the other side. Just ask the folks who were on West Germany and their family was on East Germany. You could not be face to face with them. There is a wall. God tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh, made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Often we think of this wall as a wall of our sins. Here's a brick because of one of the sins I made. Here's a brick because of another sin. That's not true. That wall was built by God. And it was built immediately upon our first sin. In fact, by our very birth and conception, there was a wall between us and God. There wasn't a sin here and a sin there that built the wall. It's always been. Jesus Christ breaks it down. And God must address sin. It is so important. I want you to think about this. If you like video games, you'll want to stay. I'm going to talk about video games. Anybody here like video games? I remember the first time I played Link. Now, I played the old Nintendo games with Zelda and all that. But at some point, they made it where you were able to go around the world. You were able to take that little character and go there and go there, and there was such an incredibly wide world that you could explore in this video game. But there was only so far you could go before the world just was all the same. You see, a video game world, there's a wall. That wall can't be seen, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, Aaron?
Yeah.
You're playing this adventure game, and you can take Link, and you're on the horse, and you're riding in, but nothing ever changes because you've hit the wall. The programmers said, you know what? We're not going to program anything by this because to go any more than this would make the game too big. Or I'm a human being and I can only program something so far, and so I can't go along here, but I can't just put a black wall there. So I'm going to make something where it looks like you keep going, but as soon as you turn around, you're going right back into where you were without having to turn to get there. There's a video game wall. If God did not address sin, it would be like a video game wall where we think we're in the world. Where we think on the other side is just another thing of beauty to see. Where we think when between me and this person who made this world, I'm in the middle of it and everything is great. God gives us the Word of God to put a stark and obvious wall. Not a video game wall, but an obvious wall. Where if you get there, you don't go beyond it. There's no fakery, there's no mystery. But when people aren't faced with sin, it's like they're in a video game world. It's as big as you think it might be, but there's nothing real. You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't want us to think we're in a video game world. So He says, let me tell you what sin is. And boom, there is a wall. And He says, I want to be the one to break it down. I want to be the one to break it down. God makes much about sin to place us right before the wall. And on the other side is sweet and eternal life with Him. Sin must be addressed. Because otherwise, we might say ignorance is bliss. But ignorance about sin separates us from God forever. He wants to put that wall up starkly. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, the wall is there. It is there. I don't have to talk about different sins that people commit. You know you are a sinner, and between you and God there is a wall. And so he gives us the foundational message. In verse 4, the Apostle John writes, "And these things write unto you that your joy may be full." He says, there's a message I've written down. There's a message I've given, and I want you to know it, and we want the world to know. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and we declare unto you." What is the message? That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He's saying, if you think that you're walking with God because you're all good, me and God are like this, me and God, we're like this, you are not doing the truth. You are lying. You see, because there's a wall, and you do not walk together with somebody who's on the other side. And he's saying, the message is this: God is light, you are darkness. But there is a way to enter into that light, and that is Jesus Christ. Notice what he says: "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." He's saying Jesus Christ died for you to cleanse you from sin. And if there is no sin because it's been cleansed, guess where you can walk? With him. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He died for mine. He died for yours. And we do not have to act as if we're not sinners. The wall is there, but he came to break it down. Sin is so important because God has made a way for us to escape the penalty of sin, to escape the wrath to come, to escape the perpetual wall around us. If God never spoke of our sin, we would still be judged according to our sin, but we would have no escape from that judgment. If God did not communicate the way to be saved from this judgment, then we ought to live out every desire of our heart, no matter how vile. Listen to what I'm saying. If God did not make a way for us to escape His punishment, then we ought to do everything that we feel like, no matter what. But He did make a way, didn't He? And to continue in sin, in the darkness of sin, is to say, I don't want to spend my life with God. And if that is your choice, you will not spend your life with God. You will spend eternity without Him. And you will reap the consequences of your sin. But He made a way for us to escape that penalty. It is not a hidden message. It is a foundational message. It is the message of the Scripture. Where sin is, Christ came to break down the wall. He wants to redeem all mankind so that we can be with Him and have the thought of the psalmist who in Psalm 84 said, "For a day in your courts are better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God to dwell in the tents of wickedness." That is what happens to a person when the wall is broken down. You see, when the wall is still up, you say, being with God's pretty good, I guess. I mean, that's what they say anyway. But if that wall's broken down in your life, you say, there is nothing that I would rather have than to be with God. 1,000 days in His courts is better than anywhere else. One day in His courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that verse. Listen to the next ones. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's nice. God, no condemnation. We like that. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Jesus didn't come to condemn, because if we don't believe in Him, we're already condemned. Sin condemns us. It puts that wall up. Because He has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. You see, we don't have the thought of the psalmist. We say, well, no, I would take 1,000 days of sin and what I could get with my flesh than one day with God. That's what a person who has a wall up says. You may be here today. And you say, well, preacher, are you saying that I have a wall up? If you had the wall down and you were able to walk hand in hand, face to face with God, you would not say God is take it or leave it. You would say God is everything that I want and everything that I need. I can't go and say that that sin was better than God. It wasn't. It's darkness. And I don't want to be there. I want to be in the light. And yet we know we all sin. Even as Christians, we choose the darkness. What do? When we choose the darkness, we are reminded that that is not good for me. It is sin. It is wickedness. But it's also detrimental to me. What do? Notice what God says. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What do? We go to Him. You know how you know if you like darkness more than the light? You do not go to Jesus. There have been many people, I'll preach a particular message, I'll never see him again. You know why? Because they don't like me. Well, that may be true. But it's that they like their sin. And they don't know my God. They'd rather sin than be with God. What a wall. He wants to break it down. He wants to destroy it. And He has done so by sending His Son. Do you hate sin? Or do you love it? Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He's saying, if you say that you don't sin, that there's no sinfulness in your life, you are lying to yourself. But there's a reason why we lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves because we like the sin that we're doing. We like what we're doing. We like the sinfulness of it. We have no problem being separated from God. And so we say, you know what? There is no sin. I'm okay. Again, me and God are like that. There's no brokenness, no contriteness, no thought that I've been wrong and I've done wrong and I've said wrong and I've thought wrong. There's no thought that I've broken fellowship with God. We think, I'll take it or leave it. There's a wall. You see, it's not just that we're deceived in our mind and we don't understand. It's that I like the darkness. And so I'm not going to call that sin. I'm not going to say what I'm doing is sin, because if I do that, then I have to stop doing it. And I have to go to God to forgive me. If you don't go to God for forgiveness, why? Are you saying that you don't sin? He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Notice what he says in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. What is he saying here? God addresses sin from the beginning of the Bible to the end. He goes into specifics. During the Lord's table, we'll look at some of the specifics. And if we say, you know what, God, I've done that, but that's not a sin, guess who we are calling a liar? Jesus said, if we lust in our hearts towards a woman who is not our wife, we've committed adultery. If you have done that this week, men, and you say, well, that's not a big deal, guess who you are calling a liar? You're calling God a liar. You are calling God a liar. Ladies, if you've gossiped this week, if you've taken the reputation of a person and brought it through the mud, God says that's sin. I don't call it sin. God does. If you say, well, that's not a big deal, everybody does it, or they deserved it, you're calling God a liar. You are calling God a liar. Brethren, this is what God does. He addresses sin. Why? Not so that we run from Him, but that we go to Him. But as long as we're not willing to address it as He addresses it, we will never go to Him. He wants us to come. Notice what He says. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. This is what God says. He, in fact, doesn't want us to run from Him because we have sinned. If we know the wall is gone, we go to Him because we have sinned. And we go with a broken and contrite heart. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh, He's near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51, 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou will not despise. In a moment, we're going to partake of the Lord's table. You know, we often think of the Lord's table as just something we have to get through once a month. What a terrible way to think of the Lord's table. The Lord's table is God inviting you into His presence despite the fact that you've sinned. And He wants you to come into that presence not with haughtiness, but with brokenness. Not with pride, but being contrite. To partake of the Lord's table unworthily is not that you did it, but that you did it without the brokenness before you. The brokenness of I sinned, I chose sin rather than you. And if you're like me, you have. This week, maybe it was with your mouth. Maybe it was with your tongue. Maybe it was with your ears, or maybe it was with your appetite, or maybe it was with your eyes, or maybe it was with your speech, or maybe it was in your mind. Maybe it was the way you treated your wife or your husband or your children. Maybe it was the way you thought about God all week long. Not much of a thought. The Lord's table is a time where God says, I'm not barring you from Me. I'm telling you to come. Because I'm the light, and I want you here, but leave the darkness, because it can't come in. The darkness can't come in. Let's have the gentlemen who are helping the Lord's table come. If you're going to partake today, and you have to, by the way, God doesn't give you a choice. If you're a Christian, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you must partake. You must partake. But if you'd say, I won't do it because I love my sin, I want to ask you this. Do you know Christ? Or is there still a wall? If there is still a wall, I want you to know it's very simple for that wall to come crumbling down. Trust Christ to save you. Ask Him to save you from your sin and say, Jesus, I don't want to walk that way anymore. You are better. And I trust that You died to take away that sin. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes just a moment. If you're here today and you have not asked Jesus Christ to save you, to break down that wall between you and Him, you must, or the wall will never be broken down. I can't make you, and God will not make you. But you can choose to trust Him to pay for the penalty of your sin. In the quietness of the moment, if you're here today and you're not saved, but you say, I will ask Jesus to save me. I don't want that wall there anymore. Maybe you faked like the wall wasn't there. Maybe you've been living in a video game world. The wall's there. He'll break it down. But you must ask Him. If you're here and you'd say, I want to ask Jesus to save me. I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to lead you in a prayer. Same prayer I asked Jesus when I asked Jesus to save me. If you're here and you're not saved and you say, I want to be saved, would you simply look me in the eyes and I'll know. Say, I want to be saved. Christian, where are you? Are you in the dark? If you are, Jesus is saying, come to the light. Confess your sins and come to the light. I will forgive you. And by the way, He will. As a gentleman, take the bread and deliver it to you. I plead with you, don't let your mind wander. But come to the Lord. Think on Him. Let Him be the light of your life.